This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and his guest by phone at 522-WTIC. Email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And that's Dennis Halnan. He's one of the employee owners, I should say. At Tab, he comes in and helps me out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. Feel free to get online if you like. We're here till 11. It's a foggy morning this morning, and nothing like the DOT patching the highway right in the middle of the highway this morning. I mean, really, guys, you couldn't pick a better time and block the whole highway. But now they're out there in the fog. Perfect timing. couldn't make it up. But we're here. We survived. And here to help you out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. 860-522-9842 is the number. And we are broadcasting on the Facebooks if you want to follow us over at the Computer Talk with Tab Lister Network. Zuckerberg can't deem it worthy or not. If you're a member of that group, you can catch us and join the conversation there if you'd like. So, Dennis, anything you want to talk about technology-wise, as we always do?
Oh, sure. I'd love to talk to you about something called a TPM.
A TPM, yes.
A Trusted Platform Module.
I've heard of those things.
And hardware that's been built into computers for quite a while now.
Yeah.
Even if you've never heard of it or ever seen one.
Yeah.
You probably don't even see them because they're chips Tiny. That are on a motherboard typically.
Itsy bitsy.
Or a device that's plugged into a daughter board inside. But either way, it's deep in the guts.
Mm-hmm.
There's been a revelation about the nature of this TPM.
Yes, it's a revelation, sure.
And BitLocker, which is Microsoft's own drive encryption protocol, depends on the TPM to store security keys that decrypt the data once you've encrypted it. Well, it turns out that with a $10 Raspberry Pi Pico device, you can hack that encryption and decrypt the data on a BitLocker drive.
In minutes. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, it's no time at all. And it not only, well, the powers that be kind of were aware of this.
That's
possibility.
Why it's not really a revelation.
Yeah. And now they're having to fess up to it. But what really, really drives me bonkers is that when Windows 11 was released, Microsoft made a big deal out of having TPM support on the computer. You had to have a TPM, and it not only had to be there, it had to be 2.0 compatible version of the TPM.
Latest and greatest.
Right, because Windows 11 needs it.
Yeah.
It needs it for performance and security. It's very necessary.
And again, real quick on this, though, too, being very necessary. This is about encryption at rest.
Right.
So when the machine is sitting there turned off and you lose it, you know, you're a state worker and you leave a laptop in the car of all of our data and it's sitting there in the front seat, you know, the hope is that it's encrypted. Everyone says, hey, you know what? All the data got out because it was not encrypted. Well, now the hope is it's encrypted and the bad guys can't decrypt it. Well, guess what they can do?
They can decrypt it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it doesn't even take much to do it, and that's part of the problem. But what is really annoying is that Microsoft hinged Windows 11 on the presence of TPM 2.0 in your computer.
Right.
And it turns out to be full of, it's like Swiss cheese, full of holes.
Yeah.
So what was the point?
I mean, basically, if you happen to be like if you're a drug user or something like that trying to sell a laptop for a couple of hits, then it won't be a big deal. It's obviously, though, if somebody wants to get access to your laptop, it's right there. You can do it in minutes.
Right.
And it's just back to the typical Microsoft, right? I mean, you got it. You can't make this stuff up. It's been the case for the past 30 years. It's like, are you kidding me? Basically, it's are you kidding me constantly. And, you know, even this is baloney, and they're aware of it.
Right. And, you know, it would have been one thing if this was a zero-day exploit that was just revealed.
Right. This is actually how it works.
People in the industry were aware that this vulnerability was present within the hardware.
Right.
And we don't care. I don't get it.
Where's what's his name? Wyden? Where's Ron Wyden? Is that his
Wyden.
Name? Wyden. Where is Wyden when you need him? Good on us, Ron.
Honestly, I'm sure his office had something to say about this. Would have to have.
Yeah. In this article, Microsoft has long accepted that such attacks are possible, although it describes them as targeted attack with plenty. Targeted attack? Guys, the idea of encryption at rest is that the bad guy has the hardware in its hand and you've encrypted it to make it safe. Right. I mean, it's not targeted. It's, again, some ding-dong leaving a laptop in the car. And it used to be not encrypted. And you're like, well, maybe you should encrypt this stuff. Well, okay, we do it. And then all the guy has to have is a $10 item to decrypt it.
Right.
What have you really done? Nothing.
Haven't done anything.
So, basically here, less than a minute in the example, we dispute that plenty of time claim. While the Raspberry Pico device is undoubtedly impressive for the price at less than $10. it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Now, you can mitigate this by the use of a PIN.
Yes.
So if you've configured a PIN along with this, you may have better encryption. But if you haven't, all you have is a little bit of a short-term crack there. So thanks, Microsoft. Anything else you want to bring up?
Oh, yeah. In the wake of all the intrusions into systems at Microsoft and HPE and some other big vendors, the federal government, which does business with a lot of these companies, has issued some guidelines that they'd like their contractors to follow.
Yeah.
One of them is they have to notify the federal government of any intrusions within a few hours.
So
not days, not weeks, not months, hours.
Right.
Okay. Another thing that the federal government wants is an available administrative backdoor into whatever it is that they've got.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Now, I suppose Microsoft and HPE, they might go along with a few hours notice of intrusions, but even that is probably something they're not going to, you know, be able to say, absolutely, we can follow that.
Right.
The other issue is there's no way they're going to allow them a standing back door.
Not that we know about.
Right. Well, yeah. I mean, that's, yeah. I don't even know where to go with that at this point.
The thing is, I mean, as far as a standing back door, I mean, we've talked about this in the past, right? The FBI fixed all the issues with the Heffernan attack, with all the exchange servers. Yeah. They were, the FBI themselves, without even asking, were running around closing those doors that were left wide open, thanks to Microsoft.
Yes.
So I would contend the FBI and the folks, the sharp folks that are part of that group, probably already have a back door.
They very well
could. What I'm joking about. I mean, I wouldn't put it past them. And you get the NSA and those guys that have all sorts of technologies. And Microsoft doesn't seem to know its TPM from its elbow. So if, you know, that request is just a bureaucratic request based on what they probably already have the ability to do. If I were to guess, I mean, I could be wrong. But at the rate we're going here, accessing Microsoft systems doesn't really seem like you need a request to do it.
Yeah, for them.
They'll just send an email to the somebody within Microsoft and trick them into their own credentials.
But even the few hours notice of intrusions, I don't even know if they could follow that because
half the time they don't even know.
Well, Microsoft might detect some activity that could be possible intrusion.
Right.
But how long would it take for them to look into that and then determine whether or not it actually was one?
Right.
It can take a few days for them to figure that out, unfortunately.
Right.
So how can they commit to something like that? I don't think they can.
Well, right.
If they wanted to, and I guarantee they don't want to.
Well, there's a story I think I saw on Fox 61 yesterday evening about Connecticut College had a breach, right? And they say that the bad guys had access to data. But the extra line is, but we don't think the bad guys have done anything yet with that. Well, they've got nothing but time, guys.
It doesn't matter by that point because they probably copied it or all or some of it anyway.
Yeah, the fact that you don't think they've done anything with it today, well, what? Is it 20 minutes from now they're going to do something with it? I mean, that statement is ridiculous.
Or a month from now or 3 months. I mean, look at some of the Okta hack that took place a few months ago.
Yeah,
we're seeing fallout from that now.
Right.
There are intrusions that are happening now because of that back then.
That's crazy.
So,
in other news, a fake LastPass lookalike made it into the Apple App Store.
Really? Oh,
yes. So basically an app that looked just like LastPass got to the Apple App Store. For unsuspecting folks to download and install and, of course, configure all your passwords for the fake app. And, you know, again, you talk about hoping that there's people at Apple and Google to make sure they vet these things. I would contend there aren't. Here you go.
Oh.
I mean, come on. Basically, it was developed by someone calling themselves Parvati Patel, and he appeared to be trying to confuse users into running the thing and possibly steal their data. Possibly? Of course that's his job. And somehow it gets on there and is available. And if you're just like most of my kids who are in their 20s, they literally take milliseconds to make a decision. Oh, there's LastPass. Boom, bang. I'll load that
right.
up.
Right. Yeah, they're not going to look for that company designation.
Right. And so you gotta have the folks at Apple do a better job of protecting their people from this kind of stuff. You could be super secure, Apple, but come on. And, of course, nobody can be perfect. But you vetting this before it gets on, I mean, it's a quick Google search. Wait a minute. Have I heard of LastPass before? It does seem a little similar. I wonder if I should check.
I would think that LastPass kind of already had an app in the market.
Yeah, you would think step one, double check
somebody submits an app for them. Yeah, you would at least double check it against what you already have.
Right. It would seem their SOP is missing a line. Be sure
missing
of
a little bit more than that.
Be sure existing app doesn't already exist somewhere else. So again, you can't make this stuff up. So you really have to be extra cynical when it comes to technology. We are a long way away from having secure anything, from what I can see. And FortiGate just talked about their issues. I mean, in passing, they've got SSL VPN vulnerabilities. They've been having issues for a long time. Cisco, these are firewalls. These are companies that whose job is it to secure access, and they have these vulnerabilities. And there's even vulnerabilities in SonicWall too. So it's an ongoing issue, and that's just the front door of your network.
Right.
Now you're looking at apps, and you're looking at TPMs that don't work, and it's like, are you kidding me? Here's where we are still in the year 2024. What are we going to do as far as doing a better job at securing our technology? And it really needs to come down to our federal government, which of course is having a hard enough time securing its own things. I mean, we work with manufacturers that deal with DOD type of folks, and you spend all your time securing the CUI having to do with maybe a whatever it is, a howitzer or some sort of drone or what have you. And then the bad guys just go right after the base and take all the drawings.
Right.
They go right to the military base and grab it.
Right.
You know, so you spend hundreds of millions of dollars protecting the data and the bad guys just go right to your military base. So, heck, I was talking to a glass guy, a little digression here, but he's he also is a military guy, and he's a glass guy, and he walked into a military base because he actually works in the military as well, and he noticed that their security glass was put on backwards.
What?
Yes.
No.
Yes. So, I mean, the contractors at the base don't even know how to put the glass on right, so that when bullets come toward it, it actually protects the people behind it. Yes. So, I mean, we're right? I mean, I wish I was making it up, but I'm not. We've all seen the stories of the nuclear submarines running on Windows XP when it, right? I mean,
well, yeah, and the nuclear missile system that was dependent on 8-inch drives from right. What, 1968?
Right. I mean, it's crazy. So we have a long way to go, and I don't know. Just assume whatever data you're putting into anything you're putting it into is available to somebody else on the other side of the planet. We're going to step out for a quick break. Feel free to get online. 860-522-9842 is the number. Stefan's on the line, and we have four lines open for you. And everything we talked about so far will be posted over at computertalkwithtab.com and on our Facebook page. If you join us on the Computer Talk with Tab listener network over there, it's a private group. We'll put you there, and you can go ahead and get the links there as well. We'll be right back. And we are back. That's right, it's Valentine's Day, it's coming up, right? Right, right? So we're hoping you guys are all be our Valentines, and that's what Carolyn's trying to do here, get you in that Valentine's mood. But we're going to be here till 11 o'clock and try to help you with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. Let's go right to Stefan and see what's going on there in New Britain. Hello, Stefan.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
I'm glad I tuned in because I feel so much better about my Windows 11 BitLocker.
Yes, right. You're so secure. Do you have a pin at least? Did you configure a pin?
I configure a pin. I can't remember if I did. I wrote it down.
Mm-hmm.
But great. So somebody with Raspberry Pi on this cheap device can just break into my computer, right?
If they have your machine, yeah. if you don't have a parent.
Oh, if they have my machine.
Right, so it's encryption at rest. So like I said in my discussion there, like again, if a state worker leaves the laptop on the front seat of their car and the laptop leaves, in the old days, they'd be all over the news because, of course, the data was not encrypted. Now, right. I'm sure the state requires them to be encrypted, so now you're not as worried. But if it's in the bad guy's hands, he uses that Raspberry Pi device. Think of it as a little key. And he's able to get access to it. So no, they can't get you without having access to the device. But that's the point. The encryption is designed to prevent that because once you've logged into it, it's decrypted, right? So if I'm a bad guy getting into your system right now because you're logged in, it's already decrypted and I have access to it, right? It's when it's sitting on the front seat of your car and I reach in there and grab it that I can't get into it unless I have that little tool.
Wow.
You follow me?
I guess Microsoft has a Ford engineering slogan. we're stupid.
Yeah, it's nutty. It's crazy.
Anywho.
What's up?
I have the HP Envy laptop, and there is a small strip. It doesn't seem to serve any purpose other than aesthetic. It's like this little plastic strip that's been...
On the bottom?
On the top of the on the rear of the screen, when all you shut the laptop, it's in front of you, and it's this little plastic strip that they cut out a section for it, and it lies in there. Now a little plastic strip is coming up.
Yeah.
So
it's probably grippy. This is for grippy, right?
No, it does. It just looks like it's an aesthetic thing. That's all. So it's still under warranty, and I was also dumbass enough to buy one of those Best Buy extended warranty things.
Yeah.
So anyway, I bring it to Best Buy, and they say, hey, guess what? It's aesthetic, so you're SOL.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, we can't fix it, and even if we send it to HP, and I think their nearest service center is in New Hampshire.
Oh, boy.
It's not worth it. Yeah, unless it impedes the function of the computer in some way, we're not gonna be able to cover that under warranty. I asked him what would be the best way to reattach this little strip. It's only coming up on one side.
Yeah.
So I initially thought super glue, and then I did some web search, and that's a bad idea.
Right, super glue. I've never had a. I mean, I know we have a great company here in Connecticut that is involved with super glue. I've never had any luck using super glue. So I can't glue anything. I mean, the guy that holds his helmet to the beam there, that those commercials where he's sitting there holding his head up to the beam. I can't glue nothing with super glue. It's probably me. I'm sure I'm not using it right. I'm holding it wrong. I'm sure, but I would think epoxy would do it, man.
Well, anyway, I looked online and there's this stuff, and they suggest it be some sort of flexible bond. So, like this E3000, or it's also known as T8000, is available from Amazon.
All right.
And I'm wondering if just somebody locally has it because I don't need to make Jeff Bezos any richer.
Yeah, right. Well, probably you might find it at Home Depot or Lowe's or something like that.
An epoxy?
I'm just throwing it out. Stefan, for me, I wouldn't even bother with it. I would rip the little piece off and call it a day if it's just for aesthetic reasons. I mean, people put, you could put a sticker over the top, no big deal. I don't think it does anything, like you said. It's just aesthetics. Dennis, you were going
to
say something.
Well, I was wondering if it's meant to be a standoff to keep the laptop
from snapping
closed. The screen from... slamming into the chassis of the laptop.
I think it's on the outside though, right, Stefan? It's on the outside.
Not the inside.
Yeah, it's on the outside.
Oh,
that's why I thought it was a grippy thing. Like so your laptop doesn't slip out of your hands in some way when you hold it from the end there. I don't know.
Well, it's right on the edge though.
Right.
See, that's the thing. It's right on the edge, so I don't know what function it serves other than just pure aesthetics.
Yeah.
But I was just wondering if you guys had some input.
No, we haven't seen that issue of any kind of quantity there. So I guess you got unlucky with whatever glued it on. So you can glue it back on or you can ignore it. I wouldn't go too crazy.
I don't have any
information.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you anyway.
Yeah, thanks, Stefan.
Okay.
All right, you too. And double check your PIN there. Make sure you got a PIN configured for your encrypted drive there. We're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online, 860-522-9842. No PIN necessary. You can call from anywhere on the planet. Heck, we got a letter from Wisconsin, right? What was that?
We did. North Carolina.
North Carolina.
Yep.
Talking about the TurboTax thing. So we'll talk to talk about that with Zig. He brought it. Literally, he sent us a letter. We'll be right back. We are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And we are here till 11 o'clock. And we'll help you out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. I woke up. I was fine this morning. And then I got in my car to drive over here. My right shoulder blade is like locked up.
Ooh.
It is ridiculous.
Right.
I don't know what I did, but it no worky. But I'm going to be here till 11 o'clock to help you out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. And so as far as concerns go, this is a great story as we wait for your calls. It's a tooth be told.
Tooth be told.
Tooth be told. Toothbrush denial of service attack claim was lost in the translation, says Fortinet. So Fortinet, we talked about, they've got some pretty major issues with their firewalls. And basically somebody was talking to Fortinet and some dingling at Fortinet gave them a they gave him an idea, a thought, this little thing that said, hey, imagine if this happened. After hundreds of media outlets worldwide repeated the false claim that a botnet of 3 million toothbrushes attacked a Swiss company, the cybersecurity firm at the center of the story now issues a statement. To clarify, the topic of toothbrushes being used for denial of service attack was presented during an interview as an illustration of a given type of attack, and it is not based on research from Fortinet. It appears that due to the translation and the narrative of this topic, it has been stretched to the point where hypothetical and actual scenarios have blurred.
Really?
You don't say. You don't say. So are you saying that journalists really don't really pay attention and just write down whatever you say? Yeah, that's kind of what he's saying. Mm-hmm. So basically, it was repeated hundreds of times by worldwide that your electric toothbrush, which, by the way, is the best investment you can ever make in your teeth. I say that. I'm telling you, get an electric toothbrush. But aside from that little public service, it's not going to be used in a botnet. Could it be used? Hypothetically, possibly, right? It depends on how smart your toothbrush is. If they have put enough in, technology into your toothbrush to actually then have it communicate with the toothbrush manufacturer to see, okay, I see Dennis is using you. That's great. You know, like my dehumidifier, right? There's enough smart technology in there that it knows when I arrive. Mm-hmm. Could your toothbrush be leveraged in a denial of service attack? I guess hypothetically, if it had enough technology. It could, but why would they put that kind of technology in a toothbrush?
I have no idea.
I have no idea either. So it comes back to the fact that the poor journalists out there, you guys, come on. You got to pay attention and not be a part of the problem. I know it's not easy, especially with technology, but now we're having to correct this because Fortinet had plenty of time to actually correct this story. And actually contact the Swiss newspaper that started it. But it waited. It had to wait until skeptical voices in the cybersecurity community questioned authority, questioned the story. Now, of course, during COVID, questioning things was something that was frowned upon. But at least when it comes to toothbrushes, it's not politically incorrect to question the story. And it's just kind of funny. It cracked both Dennis and I up. But we'll put this out there. No, your toothbrush is not going to be used to hack anybody.
No.
But it is the best investment you can make for your teeth. I promise you that. Anything else you want to talk about, Dennis?
Well, let's see. We've got an advisory by a company that does repairs on different kinds of computer hardware.
Uh-huh. An advisory from them?
Yeah.
All right.
It's a German company.
Yeah.
But what they've found is that a lot of USB sticks that they've been getting to either fix them up or to recover data from them are not really what you thought you were getting when you either bought it or were given it. In a lot of cases, these are USB sticks given out as promotions, with some company's logo.
Yeah.
You weren't getting what you thought you were getting.
Okay.
In some cases.
So you have this big fixed USB stick, right? You're like, this is a quality piece of hardware.
Right. And inside is garbage.
Oh, boy.
In a lot of cases, some of these things are little SD cards.
The smallest you can get.
Yeah, that are soldered onto a small board and then used as the storage.
Gotcha.
But as you may or may not know, a lot of, you know, micro SD cards are, you know, not the best. They're not the best electronics. They're not high speed.
No.
And even some of these are labeled USB 3 and they're not. That's why when you talk to people like Eric and myself about whether you should be backing up your data to a USB stick, what do we say?
Generally not just one if you're going to do it, but don't do it.
Yeah. That's not a backup.
Not really.
Really? No, it isn't.
and the Germans agree with you.
Oh, yeah.
So there's a story we'll put out there for that. And another news is always technology news going on out there. The one thing I saw, TrickBot malware. So this is the guy that came out with the TrickBot malware that actually is infecting hospitals and businesses. It's ransoming them. For some reason, he's been bringing down companies all over the planet, right? Vladimir Donov is the guy, I guess. He was sentenced in the U.S. after pleading guilty. And he got basically two counts, conspiracy to commit computer fraud and conspiracy to commit wire fraud.
Okay.
And guess what his sentence is going to be? Now, this guy's bringing down hospitals. People are not getting the care they need and impacting maybe your own loved one and in the hospital's ability to actually get their jobs done. What do you think we sentence him?
5 years?
Actually, it's exactly correct. Did you read this story?
Well, I was just trying to think of, you know,
how lenient we could be.
Right. And I just came up with the answer that seemed obvious.
Yeah. So, I mean, no, we're not New York City. We are actually not locking these people up for a longer period of time. I mean, this needs to be something more serious because the amount of damage that is done financially, health-wise, they're attacking hospitals. There's another one story I read. I'm not even sure if I have it here, where basically the bad guys were like laughing that they were bringing down children's hospitals. You know, they're supposed to have like a moral code, quote unquote. These hackers shouldn't be going after hospitals and stuff, but they don't even care anymore. They're just going after anywhere they can get the money. Well, the fake money, the cryptocurrency. Mm-hmm. And then we go ahead and, you know, lock them up for 5 years. Come on, man. Can we do better than that?
I think so.
I mean, it should be something painful. You know, go ahead and break rocks for 10 years. As far as I'm concerned, you can't be harsh enough than these guys. And millions of dollars lost, and we give them 5 years. I mean, I don't know what to tell you, but based on this case, they're also trying to steal your bank account information. So the banks are getting their money taken out. And guess who insures that? FDIC. But guess who backs that? We do.
Right.
So 5 years. He also, of course, is part of the malware as a service, where, again, you can become a bad guy just by downloading the tools that they put up there on the dark web and say, oh, you too can be a crook too. But we're only, you know, if you get caught, looks like the Americans are only going to lock you up for 5 years. And who knows if we're going to really lock them up. I don't even know. But we'll put the link up here to the story and you can read it for yourself. I don't know what we're doing these days, but it's awfully nice to be a crook these days or a criminal.
Well, it's always been the case that any kind of what's considered white collar crime typically has light penalties.
Yeah, white collar crime in the old days used to be like somebody like The Office, right, where they were siphoning off a penny on every transaction, right? Who got hurt, right? A penny on every transaction. This is bringing down hospitals,
right?
That's not quite white collar crime. That's
I agree with you on that, but I think the criminal justice system just hasn't really kept pace with what these people are able to do and how much damage they can inflict.
Yeah.
And depending on the systems that are affected at some of these hospitals, people could have been sickened or died.
Right.
And it's not just the money.
No, it's dangerous out there. And I wanted to bring this up last week and we never got to it. So George Carlin, you guys have heard George Carlin, his estate is suing over an AI generated stand-up special. So I actually checked this out. Basically, it's artificial intelligence that took all of George Carlin's routines and made its own routine that sounds like George Carlin. It has its own jokes, but it's generated through George Carlin's humor. And it is being the guys who put it out there say it's more of an impression, right? It'd be like Dana Carvey getting sued for doing an impression of George Bush, you know, not going to do it, you know, that kind of thing. Now, these guys are saying, well, no, this is just an impression. It's dudesy of George Carlin. You can't sue us. And you should see in the beginning of this comedy routine, it's really not that funny, but it's okay. They kind of say, this is a, you know, an impression. It's not George Carlin, yada, yada. They try to, you know, make it so that they're not going to be hit for copyright infringement. But this is an interesting lawsuit here as far as how you look at that, because they're generating the information purely from George Carlin's thing. You know, when Dana Carvey says not going to do it, George Bush never said not going to do it.
No.
He just said no new taxes, and then he lied. And we got whacked.
Wouldn't be prudent.
Wouldn't be prudent. So, you know, Dana Carvey's fine. He's not getting sued for that. So we'll see. If you guys want to check this out, we'll put a link up to this story, and you can actually check out the AI-generated stand-up of George Carlin. Now, it's explicit, so understand that it's not, you know, a family-friendly comedy routine, but then George Carlin was never family-friendly.
No.
So just be aware of that, but we'll put that link up there for you. So we're going to step out for a quick break. Dan and East Windsor, we're going to get right to your call after the break, and three lines open for you, 860-522-9842 is the number. This is Computer Talk. We'll be right back. And we are back. We have four lines open for you. We're here till 11. You guys seem to all wake up at 10:30. But feel free to get online. 860-522-9842 is the number. And we'll do our best to help you out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. Plenty of concerns out there with technology. But we'll see what we're gonna get to Zig at some point today. But let's go to Dan in East Windsor first. What's happening, Dan?
Hey, I got a weird one for you guys.
All right.
I was ready to pull out what little hair I had left. I bought a used Dell Latitude 5590, and when I got it, it only had 8 gigs of RAM. It had a little 256-gigabyte M.2 SSD in it. So I went to the big box store with the blue coloring scheme.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And I had them sell me a larger M.2. In fact, it's a 2 terabyte M.2, and I also got 32 gigs of RAM.
But nice.
In there, everything loaded up just fine, except I had a little problem with Adobe Photoshop Elements 2. Now, I know it's an older edition of Photoshop Elements, but it's not because it's Windows 11, because I have 3 computers.
Yep.
A desktop and 2 laptops, and they're all running Windows 11, and the Adobe Photoshop Elements works just fine on the other two, but it wasn't working on this one. And I was looking online for all these different things. The error I kept getting was that it couldn't launch because the scratch disks were old. And I knew there was no way this was a 2 terabyte drive. You know, and so finally, I resigned myself to the fact that I was just going to have to stick with my other laptop, which is a 14-inch laptop. So I switched the drives back over. And since they're similar hardware in these two computers,
yeah.
You know, the other drive, it just booted right up. And lo and behold, the Photoshop Elements 2 loaded up and worked just fine. I'm like, okay, that's weird. The only difference was the drive. So I took it out, looked at it closely, zoomed in on my camera, and I discovered an interesting little thing.
Yeah.
The original M.2 was in there. It said M.2 2280. It was M.2 SATA. And the one that Best Buy sold me was an M.2 PCIe Gen 4.
Okay.
And oddly enough, that PCIe Gen 4 worked just fine for everything else. When the laptop loaded up Windows 11 on, no problem. And it was everything except that Photoshop Elements worked just fine on it.
The type of drive shouldn't matter. No. From what I'm reading here, there, you know, it talks about disk defragmentation, which we wouldn't tell you to do on a solid state drive.
Right.
Have you cleared all the Photoshop cache on that particular load?
Oh, yeah.
Right.
In fact, I even went so far as to completely wipe the computer and do a fresh install of Windows 11, and then the Photoshop Elements was the very first thing I installed. Same thing.
Interesting.
And so the only, like I said, I figured it out, it was the drive.
You really think the type of drive was the issue?
Yeah, because that was the only thing that changed when I put the drive in. And so I went online and ordered
a SATA?
I ordered an M.2 SATA for it, larger one. I thought something was kind of weird because the one that was in there originally, you know, the pins on the end of it, it had, you know, the separations and the pins on both sides, so it didn't matter which way you put it in.
Mm-hmm.
And the one at Best Buy sold me only had the separation on one side, so it mattered which way you put it in. But
right.
when I looked you know, in the slot on the computer, it only had the separation on the one side, so I figured that was just a thing. But the one I just ordered online, M.2 SATA, has the separation on both sides. I'm just wondering if that's...
So you've ordered it. You haven't really proved this to be the case yet, right? You haven't swapped out the other drive yet?
I put the original one back in there, and I wiped it, did a fresh install.
And it worked?
Okay,
so it could...
There's got to be something about the drive that it doesn't like.
Right.
I'm not sure that it's
the type of drive.
I think there might just be some flaw in the drive that it's...
But your theory is definitely valid these days, because we've got a client right now with a QuickBooks problem that keeps going from single mode to multi-mode that makes no... reverse, multi-mode to single mode for no reason.
And here's the other thing. That same SSD, the PCIe Gen 4, that one, I originally bought it for my Latitude 7490, and I put it in there, and the Photoshop Elements worked just fine with that drive on that laptop.
Yeah.
It was only in the 5590 that didn't work with that drive.
But see, yeah, no, I hear you. But your machine, the BIOS, sees it. Every other aspect of your software sees it. Photoshop can't be that sensitive to it. But I hear you. Now, Elements 2, how old is that? Is it as old as...
It's old. It's very old. But it still works. I mean, it works just fine. You know?
No argument. But I'm wondering if it's so old that it just is having trouble with geometry and it's actually misreading what it's seeing on the drives because it's so old. It's too slow. Yeah. You know, maybe that's the issue.
But why would it work when I put M.2 2280 SATA back in there?
No, it's the
specific drive geometry of the drive that you're plugging in, not the interface.
Right.
There's another thing you might do if you have another drive on the computer during Photoshop startup. You can hit Control Alt
I did that. What I actually did was I ended up splitting a 2 gigabyte one and a half, and I created a drive D on it. And so when I launched the Photoshop, I quickly held down Control and Alt, and it got the little pop-up thing where I could select the scratch disks, and I selected C for the first one, D for the second one.
Okay.
And when I did that, the Photoshop Elements would load, and I could scan a document in there or scan a picture, but then when I went to save it, it would say it can't save it because the disk is full.
Weird. I'm guessing it's the technology in that Photo Elements. It just can't handle what it's seeing. Yeah. But maybe your theory is going to work out where you get the other drive. It shouldn't do that.
I'll find out tonight because that drive is supposed to be delivered by Amazon at some point tonight. So.
All right.
I'll let you know next week.
Yeah, please do. I want to know.
But that's what's going on these days, actually, trying to mix and match the old and the new, and the software is old and the technology is new, and it's just getting a little nutty out there that it's even harder than it ever has been to try to troubleshoot this stuff.
That's true.
Yeah, but oddly enough, I also have Photoshop Elements 7, and that worked just fine.
See?
So, yeah.
You're making my point on the age.
The newer code is up to snuff on the newer hardware.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, normally, the only thing I have to do with Windows 10 or Windows 11 to use the Photoshop Elements 2 is I have to go in and change the size of the virtual memory. I have to set it myself instead of letting Windows manage it.
Yeah.
But that so far, that's been the only thing I've ever had to do.
Now you got to do something else, Dan. But I do appreciate the call. Let us know what happens.
All right, I will.
All right. Let's see what he has to do. This is Computer Talk. We'll be right back.